He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. He is the center of my joy. It is ironic that, having looked at the biblical record, that in there, if you read closely, you'll find out that God has, between him, the Son, and the Spirit, has made it so that Christ is the center of all that God is doing. God's divine purposes that are being worked out by the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But the responsibilities, the role, so to speak, that's a weak word, but that which they decided each one would do, we find that it is the Son who's at the center. That's right, he is. Even us today, in the days and contemporarily that we live as a church, a lot of things are being said and a lot of teaching that goes out, but I want you to remind you again that even though we have received the gift of the Holy Spirit, after you believe in Christ, the Spirit of God has come to glorify Jesus. Amen. Are you with me here? I know I didn't get a whole lot of amens, but I don't need any. Because it's in the Bible. That's what's so good about the Word of God. It itself attestifies to itself. Amen. So we're glad about that, because it gets a little murky sometimes in the church because of the fact that so much can be going on that we lose sight of the priority. I'm not talking about us or this, but I'm just saying in the church, we seems like sometimes we develop preferences and we forget about who is the center. And there's a reason for that. It's not just because of the fact, and it is true, that God should be honored and he is glorified through his Son. And the Holy Spirit has been given that to make sure as the gospel goes forth, that he is the one who is responsible to bring an unregenerate soul to the Son of God. Are you with me here? No church can save anybody. Jesus saves. Ain't that right? But however, when we look at the historical record that's been left for us, when we see here, particularly in the gospel accounts, where we see the Son of God who landed, touched base on earth after being, again, conceived in the womb of Mary and grown up, amen, and had already taken on the flesh in the womb, but began his ministry, amen. And as he walked the earth, we can follow, again, his ministry and see his life lived out before our very eyes. Amen. And even that being said, saying we can see here that God himself walked on dry ground. Amen. But there's some things in the life of Christ that also are teaching points for us. And one of the things is, again, as we look at the text here, that we must not lose sight of, because it's imperative to us in the church that we don't lose our moorings. That means the things that have been established for us as the body of Christ, as brothers and sisters in Christ, the things that have been laid at the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, we must make sure that we keep our moorings, brother. That means stay close to the shore, not be drifting out, adopting things that will bring no real lasting change or reliability to us, but make sure we stick to, because all the truth is in Jesus. Amen. Are you with me here? So we go back again and we see again, saying a pattern of this, and how, as we look in the Gospel of John, and again, if you take time, you would read through that. We are here because this gospel was given to us, and it tells us why the Spirit of God had this thing written. Because, again, these things are written that we might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believe in that you might have life through his name. Ain't that right? Very simplistic. The purpose of it is right there in front of our eyes. And yet, as we look, saints, at this, as he came to the earth, and as we see again, his ministry began. And John the Baptist, who was a forerunner, so to speak, for our Lord Jesus Christ, you remember that famous declaration that was given. Behold, the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. Are you with me here? That still trumpets today. That which John said can really encapsulate within that sentence, within that line, what Jesus Christ came for. Behold, the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. And yet again, saints, we look back and we lean into what we want to talk about today. Christ having come into the world, and as we see here, as he came as the Word who was made flesh, and as he began to walk again in his ministry, if we look in the Gospel of John, you will see starting in verse 1 of John's Gospel who Jesus is, that he's not just, amen, the Son of God, but he's also God come in the flesh. He is the only begotten Son of God. He is the Word made flesh. He is God. Yeah. Y'all can argue all you want to. Some of us are tripping over ourselves, amen. We have too much religious toleration because in turn what we do, we accommodate and even compromise who Christ is to try to bring some kind of unity, which is false if you leave Jesus out. Ain't that right?
Yes, sir.
So John is clear about who he is, and he declares again his mission as well as his purpose and his person. But then as we look forward here, we see that as John continues his ministry, and John again was sent, brothers and sisters, again for this specific purpose. He knows why he was born. His parents know why he came here. God, I believe, in his sovereign providence, he made it had so that Elizabeth could not have child until he gave him this baby. Because John, again, he was spoken about in certain manners in Malachi that someone's going to come. Amen. And John the Baptist was born, and Zechariah recognized. They named him John. Ain't that right? John, who was the physical nephew of Jesus. But again, John was only in part and parcel because of the fact that God wanted to have somebody introduce his son. Are you with me here? You need to understand that we ain't in this world talking about. We have the purpose-driven life. We got all kinds of things to talk about while we're here. But John knew why he was here. He knew why he was born. His whole mission in life was for that moment. He did other things, but most of all, he was here centrally because when the time for the Son of God, the Messiah to be announced to Israel, John did his thing.
Yes,
and as you look at it, I'm going to intimate it for a minute. John, again, before Christ was introduced, John, again, he had his ministry down there at Jordan. Yes, he did. He was down there at Jordan Baptist Church. John didn't have a mega church. He didn't have a storefront. Amen. He didn't have a contemporary. John just preached where God had him to go.
Yes,
amen. He preached with power. Oh, yes, he did. He preached so hard. Amen. He preached so much. He scared people how hard he was preaching. But he preached the coming of the kingdom of God. Are you with me here? And John, having preached that, he came on. People began to follow him. Amen. Folks began to follow. Of course, there were some who didn't want to because they were too high-minded and self-righteous. But that's all right. But John called people. And when he came down there, John baptized them in the Jordan. He baptized them unto repentance. Do I have to mess with that a little bit then? They didn't get saved by him baptizing, but John preached about the coming kingdom of God. And as he did, it was a baptism unto repentance. But John said, there's someone who's coming after me, whose shoe laces I'm not worthy to bear. Are you with me? John said, I'm not even worthy to tie his shoe. He's coming after me. He that was before me. Are you with me here? He that come before me. In other words, John, I was born before him, but he's before me. John recognized his place. Sometimes folks need to know that, amen. Don't get too high that you don't get low. Ain't that right? I said it before, I say it again. God told us, Jesus taught us, we should always wash each other's feet, but there's only one person whose feet I'm going to kiss. Amen. And that's Jesus. After these things, the Bible says, Jesus came and his disciples into the land of Judea. And there he tarried with them and baptized. And John had already developed a following. People were being baptized by John. But then as Christ's ministry began to expand, the Lord Jesus began to get around. And folks, as a matter of fact, some of the John's disciples began to follow Jesus.
That's right.
Now, let me just tell you this, and I'm getting ahead of myself here, but John's disciples began to follow Jesus. But guess what? That's the way it's supposed to be. John's disciples began to follow Jesus. But that's the way it's supposed to be. Are you with me here? So as Christ's ministry began to expand, the scripture says that Jesus Christ and his disciples, as they were going around the Judea, a little north, and John, when he would go somewhere, he would begin to preach and he would baptize. And amen. We don't want to get into a whole lot of things about this, but baptism back here, because it started somewhat time back here, and a little before that, the Jews had means of cleansing and purification. Baptism was one of those things that was used. Are you following me? It was ceremonial in nature, but it did have some signification. And so they would baptize folks. And again, you know, you even remember when Jesus Christ himself was baptized by John, not because he needed to, but John, he said that so it might fulfill all righteousness. But John, he knew. He said, listen, I have no business baptizing you, because the Holy Ghost that came upon him, God told him how to recognize the Son of God. And when he saw the Spirit of God come from heaven and light upon Jesus, he recognized that's the Son of God. That's the one. So Christ, when he be baptized, it's not because Jesus had any sin. No, he didn't have any sin. He had no fault. But Christ is told that we might fulfill all righteousness, I'll permit it to be so. And so they began to go around, and folks were still being baptized by John, and Christ's disciple began to increase. And so it says, and John also was baptized in Enon, near Salim, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized. And John was still preaching, and folks were still being baptized. He said this was going on because John was not yet in prison. He had his liberty, but later on Herod would have him be put in prison and take his head. But then verse 25 says, then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. Purification was the issue. They were discussing, again, they said there, a question arose. It doesn't seem like it was really a real egregious discussion. They wanted to have some clarification about some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. They wanted to know, what is this? Not only just what you're doing, but what's the purpose? And I believe there's some undercurrent here because, see, John is baptizing, and they know that Jesus is baptizing. Now, John is down here, and Salim, he baptizing down there, you know? But then up north, Christ is baptizing. Yeah. See, and I don't know about you, if I was back there, I want to make sure who got the goods. I don't want nobody, even though a ceremony, I don't want to be nobody give me one of those cleansing ceremonies and think I got what I'm supposed to have. I want to know, watch it now, I want to know who got the impact. Y'all ain't hear me. I want to know what's the difference here. What's the distinction? John is baptizing. Okay, what does this mean? And then you got Jesus up there baptizing. So they started asking questions. Then as what someone would do, they said, and they came unto John. Notice this. I give them credit. They said, they came unto John. They were talking over the side there, and they wanted to know about this baptism thing. So what happened is they said, well, let's go talk to John. I mean, he's in the area. He's around here. Y'all his disciple. Well, let's get together and let's go talk to John about this purifying thing. So they came to John, and they wanted to ask him about what was going on. And they said, Rabbi, that means teacher. That means teacher. They gave him the esteem that he had. Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizes, and all men come to him. See, that's the question they wanted to know. What's this about? See, we know you preached about him. Notice they don't say his name yet. They don't say his name. They just say him. That person you were talking about, you were preaching about him, and now, John, we're trying to see, because it looks like this seems to be a shift here. Because now we're wondering, now people are going to him. They leaving your church, John. Yeah. And they're going to this guy. They're leaving from downtown, they're going uptown. And I just want to know, because we know this is something to whom you bear, in other words, you bore record of him. In other words, you told us who he was. And this is the same one, and behold, the same baptizes, and watch it now, and all men come to him. Yeah. Mm. All right. Yeah, that's
right.
So we want to know what's happening. Does he have something, excuse the expression, that you don't have? Because I want to make sure when I go to your church that you got something going on. John, y'all know I'm just being contemporary, but nonetheless, that's what the thing is. They're asking about, you know, the distinctiveness between these two things that are going on. Both of them are baptizing, and yet, John, you were here before him, you introduced him, but does he have more bang for the buck in what he's doing? So John answered, and I can believe, and I want to, you know, I don't like that people talk about that sanctified imagination. They ain't all sanctified, but nonetheless, it says, and John answered and said, watch this here. A man can receive nothing except to be given him from heaven.
Yes, sir.
Come on here, saints. See, listen here. This should clear up all these other religions. Come on, y'all don't hear me. Y'all arguing with them. You need to be trying to win them to Christ, but you're arguing with them and, you know, people trying to find out who got the right thing, not y'all, who's the real thing. They put us in the statistics. We are one of the other religions and, you know, they doing all these kind of surveys and they got all these kind of categories, you know, and people are talking about God as if they know him, but, you know, you're trying to find out if this is the same God, and I'll fix that in a minute, but, you know, all this conversation and controversy is going on, but if John, you know, I would say what John said, listen, can't nobody get nothing. It has to be given him from above. Y'all don't hear me. Y'all follow me here? In other words, if they're telling you about following God, and they telling you they know God, you ask them where they got that from.
Yes, sir.
Because in other words, whatever you have is self-spoken. You're making a declaration that there's some kind of communication or a commitment from God to you that you have some verification or validation that you can speak about him to the people in the world. Where did you get that from? You can't just go out there and talk on God's behalf. You're taking the name of the Lord in vain. God does not, one thing God has a lot of things he don't like, but one thing I know he don't like is using his name in vain.
Amen.
Y'all ain't following me. That's all right. And say, because I'm comfortable in terms of having our eyes open about what the scripture says.
Yes,
and John wanted to make it clear, a man can receive nothing except to be given him from heaven. Are y'all with me here? See, he's clearing it up for them. And go back, if you go back, say, because they asking him, there must be a reason. They're wondering who got it. What's in this for us? These two baptisms, can we weigh them equally? And John sits back there. He has no problem. He don't clear his throat. No, he don't clear his throat. Just watch now. John's not ambitious. Because if he was, he said, well, you know, we kind of the same. You know, it's not too much different. You know, all y'all go under, you know, if you want, we'll pour on you. But no. John says, no, he clears it out. Because he knows why he's here. When you know your mission, when you know your purpose, when you know what you're here for, then watch it out. Then you stick to it.